be spoken and only the truth be heard. In the name of the Holy One, Creator, Redeemer, Life-Giving Spirit. When people are dying, they often don't have that much to say. But if you look carefully, you'll notice that their hands are busy speaking volumes. 45 minutes before my father died, he said everything with his hands. He spoke no words, but on the coverlet lay both hands. One hand holding on to mine for dear life. The other one open, letting go in a gesture of sorrow. One hand closed in fear and pain and uncertainty. The other open in peace and comfort. It's one of the images of my father that will remain with me forever. It's also how I imagine Jesus on the cross, moments before he breathed his last. One hand holding on, one hand letting go. I actually got that image from this place when I was here 20 years ago, looking at that window right behind the choir by the crucifixion. One hand closed, holding on, which is just put off by the stone. The other letting go in a gesture of sorrow. It became for me a metaphor of how we all live out our lives. For from the time we come into this world to the time we depart, we spend our lives attempting to discern when to hold on and when to let go. And in the most profound moments of our lives, the death of my father, Jesus on the cross, we do both. One hand holding on for dear life, the other letting go in a gesture of sorrow. Today's gospel speaks exactly to those times. I have to say, this is one of the most difficult and uncomfortable passages of Scripture for me. Especially since those harsh words that are spoken about bringing fire to the earth and division among families, those words come from Jesus' own lips. And they go against what keeps me warm and safe and comfortable. This image I have of this gentle, kind, loving Jesus who glides into our experience and whispers nothing but words of peace. And Luke comes along and shatters those images and gives us a Christ who says, I come to bring fire to the earth, not peace, but division, even within families. Testament scholar worth their salt, we have a lot of those around here, would tell you that this passage is yet another example of apocalyptic literature, which is always cataclysmic, paradoxical, never what you expect, the truth always turned on its head, often emphasizing God's judgment and using images like fire to convey the sense that all will be cleansed and purified when the end comes. There's a lot of truth to that. And for the crowds to whom Jesus was speaking, all of this talk of chaos and uncertainty and cleansing actually may have been welcome. Because think about it. The children of Israel have had enough of so-called peace. They'd experienced peace all of their lives. Rome had conquered the ancient world and established its own version of peace. But it was a peace that was based on coercion and manipulation. We know what that kind of peace is like in our own lives. We can feel it when we're doing it to others or it's being done to us. It's a peace that purchases people's security at the price of their servitude, or sometimes enslavement. And Jesus discovered what we all discover in our own lives, and that is that whenever sham peace is exposed for what it really is, it always becomes coercive and violent. False peace crucifies those who expose it. But true peace, the peace that Jesus brings, embraces the truth with open arms, even if it has to go through the fire to get there. No matter how difficult those truths might be. And it is the truth that Jesus is trying to reveal when he spoke to his audience with these harsh words. Because this passage is not just about the truth of the children of Israel. It's about the truth of our existence as those who are created in the image of God. It's the truth about when to hold on, when to let go, and when we need to do both. In the difficult language of division and fire, Jesus was trying to tell the children of Israel that they needed to hold on. Hold on to the promise that they would be delivered from the tyranny of Rome. But he was also telling them that they needed to let go. To let go of their expectations of how that deliverance was going to come about. Has God ever intervened in your life in any way where it wasn't what you expected? They needed to let go of their expectation and hold on to the true salvation that Christ had in store. And in this image of bringing division, not peace, Jesus was telling the children of Israel to let go. Let go of their images of how God would fulfill his promise to bring them to freedom. But to hold on to the person who would fulfill it, Jesus himself. God always intervenes in the intimacy of relationships, of a relationship with him deeply rooted in Jesus Christ and shared in fellowship with one another, always. And Jesus is trying to tell his audience the same thing when he uses the image of